Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Two men are arrested for beating a man because he said he was gay. Michelle Bachmann announces her 2012 presidential bid. And Colorado's porta potty peeper says he's not crazy. He just likes to stand hip deep in feces and spy on women.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, steel yourselves for this. This is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for June 27th, 2011. Two men were arrested in Portland for attacking a man that after he said he was gay, according to police, and faced their first court appearance today. Investigators said early Saturday morning that the two suspects, 21-year-old Christian Sanchez Vincenzo and 28-year-old Sean Siefke, approached the victim and asked for directions. They then asked if he was gay, and when he said yes, they attacked him. Minutes later, Andrew Smith, who was visiting from Newport, said he saw what was going on and intervened. He pulled the victim out of harm's way, but he was also beaten in the process. Smith said, "My ear is just completely black. My eyes are completely black. The right side of my face is just all cut up from hitting the asphalt. My chest, my knees, my hands are all scraped up." Police arrested the two suspects when they later returned to the scene.
Because they're brilliant.
Yes.
Because they're geniuses.
There might be more gay people to beat up there. It was like that fishing hole that you just keep returning to over and over again. Only, you know, with beating and arrests.
Better to have a blackened ear than a blackened heart and a tiny brain.
Dear Lord. This was the second bias crime attack reported in Portland in just over a month.
The good news is that the perpetrators appear to be getting dumber by the moment. So
yeah. That
can only end well for everyone.
Let's go back there and see what's going on. Maybe they're looking for us.
Seriously, I wonder what percentage, and I'm betting it's a large number, what percentage of criminals are caught because, like jagoffs, they just go back to the same spot, figuring that nobody will be looking for them where they just were.
Well, I mean, have you never watched, you know, CSI or any of these shows where they always, like, scour the videotape of the crime scene.
Let's be at the funeral with video.
Yeah, or the crime scene, and they look at all the onlookers, because criminals, like 80% of the time, they will return to stand in the crowd to watch what's going on.
As somebody once said,
don't go back there.
There's no amount of police training, there's no amount of effort, there's no amount of ingenuity that can equal just the benefit that accrues to you by the person you're looking for being stupid.
Yeah. Well, also, if you're just beating up people because they're gay, odds that you have a brain the size of a pistachio is pretty high. Fire investigators with Forest Grove Fire and Rescue said an apartment fire in Forest Grove started when a woman left a stick of incense burning unattended while she was out of the room for a few moments.
Goddamn hippie.
When firefighters arrived at about 7 p.m. Sunday, they found smoke at waist level in the hallway of the second-story apartment. Upon further investigation, they discovered the fire had been extinguished, but the room was still full of smoke.
Where was this?
Forest Grove.
Oh, yeah. Goddamn hippie.
Crews searched the roof and other rooms and found the fire hadn't spread to any other apartment units. As a precaution, the other occupants of the building were evacuated. The occupant of the apartment suffered minor smoke inhalation and refused medical treatment. The fire is estimated to have caused around $400 in damage.
I didn't think incense even burned. I thought it just smoldered.
It does. I've been burning incense since I was like, well, since I learned to smoke pot probably when I was 16 years old. And to this day, even though I do not smoke the marijuana, I still burn incense. I have never caught a damn thing on fire.
You have to work really, really hard to set something on fire with incense, I think.
Yeah, you would have to like set it like right like up against some kind of nylon curtain or something.
Do we know that it was incense, or is it just, did she say it was incense?
I don't know. I just report what is told to me.
All right. Passed along to you by the man.
By what we assume are reputable news sources.
Uh-huh. All right. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, June 27th, 2011. Thank you for drawing near at the beginning of yet another week. If you would like to hear us via iTunes later on the day, you can do that. You can also get it as a free MP3 download directly here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. You can also take it with you on your mobile device if you like. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. And coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, the Rick Emerson Radio program today, Corpse Watch, Geek Watch, Democracy in the March, and Mr. Aaron Duran will join us for another installment of The Week in Geek. That is all coming up next hour. Plus, we'll talk about, I'm not even going to try to be coy, but we'll talk about my wife's attempts to set Keelan up on a blind date without his knowledge.
Oh, that's it. And if you want, I can give you my short capsule of the season premiere of True Blood, because I actually watched
it. Was that on last night?
Yes, it was.
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't know that.
and it's kind of hilarious.
Excellent. That is coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com.
2 weeks after she filed her candidacy papers, Michelle Bachmann officially launched her presidential campaign in her hometown of Waterloo, Iowa, on Monday. Outside a historic mansion in Waterloo, Bachmann said she's waging the campaign not for vanity. She said voters must make a bold choice if we are to secure the promise of the future.
I don't think you should launch anything in a place called Waterloo, but I mean, that's just me.
So the sound we have here, is this from her campaign announcement?
Well, there's yours, and then there's...
Mine is just the straight, it's like a minute long.
These two.
And it's just the...
Well, let's start with the two short ones. Okay. I think these are both, I mean, they're brief, but I think they're both basically.
I often say that everything I need to know, I learned in Iowa.
There we go.
That's almost certainly not true.
And that's just insulting to the people of Iowa, because she proves again and again that she knows many things wrong.
And also, I would imagine, to the rest of the universe, that's probably insulting as well. I would wager,
also,
I mean...
crazy.
Call me nuts. Probably there's lots of places where the things you learn in Iowa do absolutely dick in terms of your ability to sort of get by.
Yeah, they grow corn there, don't they?
Sure.
I'm not sure that's going to help you be president, though. Bachmann says conservative leadership is critical now.
Let's see. This is
we the people.
All right, hold on a second. Okay.
We the people stand once again for the independence from a government that has gotten too big and spends too much and has taken away too much of our liberties.
There's really nothing that says independence from government by running to become part of that government.
Yes. And she just said, yeah, of course, she is not running, she said in her announcement, that she's not running for vanity. This isn't about her, Rick.
No,
she,
of course not.
No, this is about, like, helping the peoples.
She's also part of government now. I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't really seem, just logically, it doesn't really follow that you can be a government employee and be for independence from government
while campaigning to be appointed to an even higher governmental office.
Right.
It seems like there's a fallacy there in your reasoning.
But I don't think the people that she's reaching out to care so much about, I don't know, what's that called, logic?
Maybe they're rhetoric and
yeah.
not high on the list.
They just hear blah, 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 liberty, blah, 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 America, blah, blah, lower taxes, blah, 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 blah.
Which would be fine.
Guns.
But that's the thing. Like, if that was actually her campaign, I'd be all for it. If somebody, seriously, if somebody ran and they were like, liberty, independence, lower taxes, and sure, mm-hmm. guns,
yeah.
who has a problem with that?
No
one. So
you just have to listen to all the other words in between.
That's what I mean. It's not really. Yeah. See, the problem is it's not really any of those things.
Yeah. Bachman said she aims to follow her Tea Party ties to wind back the clocks on big government. I want my candidacy to stand for a moment when we the people stand once again for the independence from a government that has gotten too big and spends too much and has taken away too much of our liberties. She later declared, President Obama is a one-term president.
You have to stop that. It's too early in the week, and it's too early in the day for me. You can't do that, voice.
I'm trying to position myself now as the go-to person for the Bachman imitation when people need somebody to do Michelle Bachman.
Oh, I thought you were doing Roseanne Barr.
Is there vocally? There's very little
difference.
I'm
sure with you. I thought, but it is. But you do. But you do have the. I do think you do have a promising career as a Roseanne Barr impersonator. Though.
Oh, dear Lord.
Seriously, no. That's all you need to do is be able to screech the Star Spangled Banner and claim you were molested.
Bachman, sadly, is the only woman in a field of 8 candidates for the GOP.
She's a role model, Don.
And she may be soon be joined by fellow Tea Party favorite Sarah Palin.
That's because theirs is the party of inclusion.
I bet Palin, by the way, is just so pissed right now because the... was it the Standard, the Weekly Standard, one of the magazines, put this big, sort of very flattering caricature of Michelle Bachman on the cover wearing a tiara, and in big letters it said, Queen of the Tea Party. And I just imagined Sarah Palin looking at that and trembling in rage.
Like Tracy Flick.
And just burning it up with her laser eyes.
Yeah, but I think Sarah Palin knows that she could probably just have Michelle Bachman taken out whenever she wants. That's seriously, Michelle Bachman, whatever anybody wants to say about Sarah Palin, she is at the very least, I think, inarguably savvy. And Michelle Bachman doesn't even have that going for her.
No.
I mean, she's like as sharp as butter. I mean, there's just,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I got a story that I'm going to talk about in the next hour about how she mixed up John Wayne's. She referenced the hometown of John Wayne, but in fact, it's actually the hometown of John Wayne Gacy.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, they both love their boys.
Yeah.
Somebody says, in all caps, Jesus Christ, that sounds just like Roseanne Barr. You're right. See, you're onto something. This is like the guy who was trying to make tortillas, and he made cornflakes by mistake, and then an industry was born.
Well, you know, now I just have to kind of maybe tweak it a little bit to get the Bachman, because, you know, that's what I understand the true vocal artists do.
It's true.
You start somewhere at a certain level, and then you say, well, it's a little bit of Vincent Price and a little bit of Johnny Depp, and then I kind of, like, skew a little bit of Russ Perot in there, and ta-da, I've got X.
Casey Kasem plus Ronald Reagan, Ed Wood.
See, there you go. A popular spot for Twilight fans to have their pictures taken in Forks, Washington, is now gone. The facade of Forks High School came down this month. Its building is being demolished to make way for a new school. The Peninsula Daily News reports a campaign to raise $287,000 to save the 86-year-old facade raised only a few thousand dollars. It was the one site in the Olympic Peninsula town visited by fans of the teen vampire romance books and movies.
What do you mean a facade? Like it wasn't even ever, was it never a real school?
No, I think it was, I don't know.
Or did they knock the rest of it down and just leave that part of it up somehow?
They probably did. They probably knocked the rest of it down and left that part up to like shoot exteriors for the last movie or something.
But how many things could there possibly be to see in Forks? That's just short-sighted.
Yeah.
It's like knocking down the sands.
A terracotta cornerstone and lintel reading Killiute High School.
A lintel?
Lintel.
What?
I don't know what a lintel is. I think it might be the thing that goes over the door.
Okay.
And again, I'm mispronouncing the name of the Twilight School because I don't know. It's like Killiute, something like that. That's going to be preserved in the new school.
Lintel?
L-I-N-T-E-L. Lintel. It's a architectural term.
Okay.
Everyone thought there was a time capsule in the old cornerstone, by the way. And then when they tore everything down and looked inside, all they found was a badly deteriorated copy of a 1925 newspaper.
Dope. So. All right. That's just really dumb because there's nothing else in that town that's going to attract, I mean...
No, because all the other stuff was shot elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Canada and then here for part of it and then whatever. So it's like that is just getting rid of the one thing that you could actually point to and go, that was it. Because when people go to a town like that where something is filmed, it's not, you don't just want to stand there. You want to go like, where's something that was in the movie? And they go, the post office there doubled as the election headquarters for primary colors. And you go, that's great, honey, get my picture in front of it. Yeah. Or whatever. Or like when I went to, I saw the house that was Henry Hill's boyhood home in Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. That, you want to be able to point at a thing and get your picture taken with it in the background, looking like a jackass going, look at the thing. But now that you can't even look at the thing. Yeah. You'd have to just have a picture of the thing, which you could do at home.
Like Patrick and I spent a lovely weekend early in our relationship at a bed and breakfast in Astoria. And I went online and went to the Astoria Chamber of Commerce thing. And I found like all the places movies had been shot there. And I drove him around and I was like, look, the Goonies house. And he's like, oh, my God, the Goonies house. And then we drove and there's an elementary school. And I said, does this look familiar? And he said, no. And I said, OK, imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger rolling around on the front lawn.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, my God, Kindergarten Cop.
Totally.
And
yeah.
So that, yeah. And, you know, there's only like a handful of reasons to go to Astoria. Really.
Well, and there's even
Goonies
fewer reasons to go to Forks, and now there's none.
Right.
Now there are no reasons left to go
there.
No. That really is...
That was just stupid.
It really is surprising. I mean, just like in a fiscal sense, that makes no... Well, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It
doesn't matter to me. I don't live there.
You turn it into like... I don't know. Yeah.
Where did they get... I mean, what do they do with the facade? That's the thing. Seriously, no lie. You could just stick that in a wheelbarrow and take it around and sell it to idiot housewives.
Yeah, no, I guess what did it say? They're keeping the cornerstone, and I guess the lintel, I guess, is the thing that goes over.
It's like
an
arch.
Yeah, it's an arch over the door, and it what had the name of the Twilight School.
But you could just sell pieces of the Fork School.
Yeah.
I mean, there are idiots everywhere that would pay you for that.
Yeah.
And I say that as a guy that bought a part of Sharon Tate's fireplace. So, I mean, really, you know, there is a market for such things.
Mm-hmm. Fools, you people of Forks. 30-year-old Lou Crisco of Boulder, Colorado, insists he is not crazy, yet he admits to hiding inside the tank of a portable toilet to spy on women at a Boulder yoga festival last week. I was at the yoga festival doing a little bit of yoga, and I'm just seeing all of these goddesses, Crisco told a local news affiliate. It seems crazy, but I just felt like I was being blessed by their energy, even though it was unintentional.
I'm so creeped out by this guy.
Yeah, there's a picture of him in the Dropbox, by the way.
Yeah, you can see that at rickemerson.com/pictures, visual aids for June 27th.
He said he's a voyeur and not a rapist, and he said the idea of waiting in a tank of waste and urine didn't bother him. There's bacteria in there, but to me it's just normal. We all have bodily fluids, he said. It seems terrible, but it didn't actually smell that bad or anything. I still would have done it even if it smelled a little weird, because where there is muck, there is gold. Police believe Crisco has been watching women through bathroom peepholes in restaurants and businesses all over Boulder, Colorado. Investigators are contacting local businesses named by him in an attempt to substantiate his claims, because apparently that's his defense. I'm not a rapist. I'm a voyeur. Let me tell you all the places there are peepholes in town that I use.
So when you say a peephole, this isn't like in the wall, though. You made it sound like he was sort of...
No, in the porta potty at the yoga
tank thing.
Yeah, this was a story that was reported last week. A woman went
it's
in...
the worst thing I've ever heard.
A woman was at this yoga festival, went to use one of the porta potties, saw something moving in the tank, went out, talked to like security or something. Security guard went in. Guy jumped out... wearing nothing but like a pair of shorts.
Scuba
he was like
gear
bare,
even? No,
he was barefoot and wearing shorts and ran away.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything worse than that. And we've covered a lot of horrible things over the years.
Yeah. So he says he's spied on as many as 200 women. Boulder Police spokeswoman Kim Cobell said, detectives have already confirmed that there are peepholes in the restaurants of several local businesses. Owners of those businesses are taking appropriate action to seal the holes.
Now, but again, people... So it sounds like he's, like, jumping into the tank at the porta-potty. That was sort of an exception. Normally, he was just Norman Batesing it through a hole in the wall, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because, like, how many restaurants have a toilet you could hide in? Probably very few. Yeah. So it sounds like this was... He was ramping it up. Like, ideally, this would have been his plan most of the time, to hide in the tank, but that wasn't really available to him, so he had to settle for looking through a hole in the wall most of the time.
Actually, it sounds like most of the time he uses the peepholes, but he went to this yoga festival and just watching the women walking around and bending over backwards and sticking
too
their butts
to pass
there,
up.
That was not enough for him. Oh, no.
Was it an all-female yoga conference?
I don't think so.
Because it seems like you're going to be getting like some dude's sack about half
the
time.
Yeah, I don't know. In describing his situation, he said, and keep in mind, this is the guy who's saying he's not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, it was a lifestyle I was living. Just by choice, trying to find my private way to exercise my spiritual beliefs. I made a vow to myself that I never wanted to frighten any girl. I would rather put a gun to my head than scare anyone or hurt anyone. That's how I live my life.
Here's the thing, and he's not a bad-looking guy is the weird thing. I mean, in fact, he kind of looks like Patrick. I mean, really. No, I mean, he's...
Oh, God, you're right. He kind of does.
He kind of does. He's sort of here's the other thing. He looks just like a guy I used to work with at CBS Radio Portland. He's not that guy. Although, I have to tell you, when you first put this picture up and I didn't have any context or background, I thought that it was that guy. I'm like, oh, my God, it's so-and-so that I used to work with at CBS Radio Portland. Turns out, not him. But he could pass for that guy. And again, not an unattractive man.
No.
Seriously, what happens... What goes wrong in your life that you're hiding in feces, staring up at somebody's anus, hoping it's a woman? I mean, really, honestly.
I don't know.
You have to take so many left turns in your life.
He, according to The Smoking End, by the way, he's owner of several blogs and websites.
That's surprising.
And among them, maxextrememodels.com, something Sky O'Ryan, SKYEORYAN.com, and holysexteam.blogspot.com. And they say that the sites all feature women in sexually suggestive positions, but stop short of actual pornography.
Holy Sex Team.
Holy Sex Team.
What do you suppose? What happens?
Blogspot.
By the way, somebody has noted that he's like the fluke monster thing that gets sucked up by the porta potty cleaner in the X-Files.
He is, only his teeth aren't as sharp. And
no.
He's not quite as slimy.
Jesus, God almighty. Somebody just says that guy needs to be put down. Seriously, he does the gene pool no favors.
No.
I mean, he is so far afield from any sort of acceptable human sexuality. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy if you meet him on the street. You know, he seems like a considerate guy in his own horrible, perverted way.
He looks like a guy who would work at the hippie flotation tank place that you were talking about.
He really just does need to be, he needs to be removed, though, from not just like the literal pool, the figurative pool as well. I mean, he doesn't need to be.
I gotta wonder, though, if you go to like a yoga festival like that, and there are a lot of really toned, really fit women who are just publicly doing like yoga exercises and stuff, what percentage of the people at that festival are just creepy guys walking around staring?
Well, I would say the percentage of guys anywhere that are just there for some creepy purpose is like 30%. It doesn't matter where you are. Anywhere at all, under any circumstance, like 30% of the guys there are there for some untoward purpose. That's just, I think that's a universal constant. That's a static. apparently, by the way, we have a correction. Not lentils. They prefer to be called Asians now.
Oh, all right. The Supreme Court strikes down a California law that would have banned selling violent video games to children. Rich Taylor of the Entertainment Software Association disagrees with supporters of the ban, who insist the rating systems for games currently in place do little to protect minors.
Yeah, suck that.
The Federal Trade Commission looked at the various rating systems and said, you know, the video game industry does the best job with education about the system, does the best job at enforcement at the retail level.
Taylor of the Entertainment Software Association praises the ruling and says it sends an important message.
Free speech protections apply every bit as much to video games as they do to books, movies, music, and other forms of creative expression.
Excellent. Fantastic. That was actually, that was one of the things that woke me up this morning, because I have that Drudge app that does the weird air raid siren whenever there's breaking news. And so that was actually the first thing I saw this morning when I woke up. It was like this huge 1,000-point type from Matt Drudge that the court, which is surprising, because the court is generally perceived to be middle to right of center on most of these issues. And this was actually kind of a strict constitutional interpretation. So good for them.
Mm-hmm. And the video game industry, from all, you know, for all intents and purposes, they do seem to do a very good job of rating and enforcing their games.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, If your kid's bringing home something that you think is too violent and he's playing it, it says right on the box.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and also, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, the video game industry and video game retailers and stores do a pretty good job of that. But by the same token, that is something that, to the best of my knowledge, is not even required. That's a thing that they impose upon themselves, not unlike the Motion Picture Association of America imposes their own rating system, which is odd when you consider the fact that there is no rating system, you know, for like printed material, for example. I mean, I guess you can't be selling like Hustler to kids or whatever. But I mean, you can go to the library and just check out almost anything if you're a kid. So it is. It is strange that certain industries feel the need to sense that the heavy hand of government would be brought down on them if they did not impose that on themselves. Ugh. All right. I gotta close this. People keep sending me pictures of the Fluke Man from X-Files. Stop it. and our friend Rick says he's like that monster in the trash compactor in the Death Star. You're totally right about
that.
Yeah.
Which you now know what it looks like.
God damn. Yeah, except I'd rather... I mean, that thing is less freaky than this guy. I mean...
Well, yeah, because the monster in the Death Star, I mean, it's really just following, you know, the natural order of things.
It's just some horrible invertebrate creature. This
right.
is like some guy that lives on your street.
Guy should know better.
Jesus. All right. I wonder if he even bothers... Like, if he doesn't mind the feces, it's like, I wonder if he even bothers to clean up right away when he goes home, or if he has, like, a light lunch first.
Oh, God.
Seriously. I mean, like, seriously,
man.
If he doesn't mind, what would be his motivation for giving himself a scrub right away?
And how can you not mind? Have you ever, like, used one of those things? No. No.
Can I just tell you this? True story. I had a friend of mine who was in one of those things and it got tipped over.
Oh, you told me this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good times.
Didn't you? Is it you? Also, you had a friend who lost his keys
yes.
down in one and had to...
Yeah, no, yeah. he was... Yeah, we were... I forget where the hell I was. It wasn't at Rockfest, but it was like something. We were at the park or some event, some shindig. And, but yeah, the last thing... And we were all getting ready to leave. I think it was... We were something like some multiple day event and we were all getting ready to leave. And the last thing I saw was just him walking, striding towards the porta potty with a coat hanger. Just trying to hook his keys out of the bottom of that thing. That's a lot of fun.
Ah, yeah. Let's do science.
Okay. Here's your science on the march. And then, by the way, when this is done, I have a shocking revelation about mayoral candidate Max Brum.
Ooh.
Two of them, actually.
Ooh.
Two shocking revelations. Two.
I can't wait.
Science of the March brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them at squireselectric.com or go to facebook.com/Squires Electric. While you're there, hit the like button if you would. You can also reach them via telephone. It's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. That means it has to do with installing, upgrading, repairing, rewiring, or assessing the state of the wiring in your home or in your business. They can do it right. They can do it the first time, and they'll do it with a free estimate up front so you know about what you're going to pay. It's 503-252-1609. They are Squires Electric, proud sponsors of this, your Science on the March.
An asteroid is headed towards Earth, and it's running a little later than scientists originally predicted. But there's no chance it's going to actually hit us, they say. New observations have astronomers saying the asteroid, called 2011 MD, won't swing close by Earth until 1 p.m. Eastern time today, about 3.5 hours later than they first thought. So I guess that already happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, then.
I'm glad we didn't know.
No. And it also wasn't going to come as close as they originally thought. It came about 7,600 miles from Earth, which is 100 miles further away than they first forecast.
Okay.
The asteroid was about 15 feet by 60 feet wide and should have been bright enough that a medium-sized telescope would have been able to see it. But
here's the thing. By the way, if an asteroid is ever on a direct collision with the Earth, there's nothing we can do about it.
No, and they're not going to tell us.
No. Well, and even by the, I mean, even if they did, by the time we learned about it, it would be impossible. Here's a fun fact. All of the, you know, that sort of like Armageddon thing, if we're going to shoot rockets into space and land on the, even if that were possible, which is probably not, but even if it were, we inadvertently, by we, I mean the government, inadvertently destroyed the blueprints for building those rockets. We no longer have the ability to do it because the government destroyed all of the schematics for how to build said rockets and can't find it. Just so you know, FYI.
I'll bet Bruce Willis knows.
Yeah, probably.
While most automakers try to fix the problems with today's tech, Volkswagen is working on tomorrow's. The future of driving, in major cities at least, is looking more and more like it will be done by high-tech computers rather than actual people, at least if the latest breakthroughs in self-driving vehicle technology mean anything. Internet search engine Google has logged some 140,000 miles with their Toyota Prius fleet, and Audi has had similar success with its run of autonomous cars. Now Volkswagen has presented its temporary autopilot technology. Monitored by a driver, the technology can allow a car to drive semi-automatically at speeds of up to 80 miles per hour on freeways.
What is semi-automatically?
I don't know.
Is that like in Driver's Ed where there's a guy next to you that can, like, scream and hit the brake if it looks like you're about to mow somebody down?
Well, I think it's like the driver has to always continually monitor it.
Okay.
And that way...
You can't just take a nap.
Right.
All right.
You have to check in every once in a while so it knows you're actually paying attention.
Are we still headed to Texas? Okay, great.
It works using a combination of existing technologies such as adaptive cruise control and lane keeping assist, rolling them all into one comprehensive function. The driver always retains driving responsibility and is always in control and must continually monitor it. In this way, Volkswagen only sees it as a stepping stone towards what seems like an eventual future where no one will actually be doing any driving. In the semi-automatic driving mode, the system maintains a safe distance to the vehicle ahead, drives at a speed selected by the driver, reduces this speed as necessary before a bend, and maintains the vehicle's central position with respect to lane markers. The system also observes overtaking rules and speed limits. Additionally, stop and start driving maneuvers and traffic jams are also automated.
Seriously, what am I going to do without jokes at the expense of women drivers? I mean, really, it's like an entire field of comedy, an entire branch of the comedic family tree is just going to winnow and wither and die away.
And what will happen to the old man in a hat? The old man in a hat who can't drive to save his life.
I just don't know.
Even
I have
the
no
old,
idea.
Even the old man in a hat will be able to drive.
No.
According to multiple media reports, a 55-foot-long marine animal recently washed up dead on a beach at Guangdong, China. The question was, what is it? No one knew what it was, and so they just kept referring to it as a sea monster. The photo was shown to three marine biology experts, Scott Baker of Oregon State University Marine Mammal Institute, Bill Perrin of the National Marine Fisheries Service, and Bob Brownell, who works with the NOAA's Fisheries Service. And all three of them say they think it's a whale. They don't know what kind of a whale, but Baker said that he believed it was a balaenopterid. It also was 55 feet long.
Are we sure that it's not a Cloverfield 2 whale?
It might be. If you've seen the picture, there is a picture, and it could be...
This is really the genius of J.J. Abrams, is now every time they find anything on a beach that they can't identify within 3 minutes, we just assume that it's viral marketing for Cloverfield 2. That's... I assume that with everything. There was that thing they found at Montauk or whatever, like, last year. And I just ought to... That is now my default assumption for any unidentified creature, that it's from the Abrams factory.
So, anyway, they said that judging by the size of 55 feet, it might be a fin whale. Also, he said that the photo doesn't really actually look like it's 55 feet, so it might be...
And it doesn't look like a whale either. It looks... I hate to say this because now it sounds like I'm just poking at people. It looks like a weather balloon. I mean, yeah. It really looks like an actual weather balloon. Like, it looks like it's just a big canvas tarp sort of contraption.
Yeah, they said that if it is indeed a whale, it was likely entangled either intentionally or as bycatch in fishing ropes. Given its weight and size, the whale could not be hauled in, so it wound up floating ashore, where its decaying body is now releasing a horrible stench, but still attracting onlookers.
Well, seriously, it's about time that whales did something bad to the Japanese. I mean, really. Or wait, is this China?
This is China.
They probably kill whales, too.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Conservationists say the lionfish is killing bait fish from Brazil all the way to Maine. Local conservationist and dive captain Jim Abernathy of West Palm Beach, Florida, said the lionfish are supposed to be in the Pacific Ocean, not in the Atlantic. The problem with the lionfish in this area is it reproduces so quickly and it doesn't have enough predators, he said. Basically, the lionfish is eating most of the small fish from Brazil all the way up to Maine. There are a lot of different theories on how they got here. Aquariums, Hurricane Andrew, filtration systems, but nobody really knows. Abernathy wants seafood lovers to try the lionfish. It hopes it will get more and more of them out of the water.
Have we considered the possibility that they swam? I am just saying, I don't want to alarm anybody. That may be how they moved from one area to the other.
Abernathy says, those of us who have eaten lionfish can tell you it's a delicacy. And we're hoping that more and more divers will be bringing this fish in for sale.
Was it you? Have I shown you that video of the mimic octopus?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Oh, my God, yes.
So that's we can't rule out the fact that, you know, the possibility that this is just a whole platoon of mimic octopuses that
that's
are just
right.
sort of, you know, making their way up the coast or whatever. Because it's like a black and white stripey sort of a thing. Yeah.
I find the... I'm interested in the idea that a hurricane could bring fish from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic
Ocean. It's because it lifts them up into the water and, like, flings them or something, doesn't it?
I know, but all the way from one ocean all the way, like, across the continent to the other ocean?
Well, they're connected.
Hmm.
I mean, aren't the oceans all sort of connected?
But do they really, like, respect the Panama Canal? Fish. When you say some are in the Pacific, some are in the Atlantic. That kind of makes you believe that, like, there's this whole, I can go no further.
Well, I think now, is it like a temperature thing? Because the Gulf is really, really warm, mm-hmm. but it's cold, but the Pacific and the Atlantic, you know, on either side of it, bordering it, are very, very cold. So it seems like you can probably... That's a thing where if you are a cold water fish, you probably can't get, you know, you can't make it through the Gulf Stream.
No.
But if you're a warm water fish, you probably can't go any further than that. Unless the hurricane, like, so completely screws everything up, and then the hardiest and strongest of the fish would survive to have strong, hardy offspring of their own.
You say, wow, this is cold, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. I don't really know. I'm not an ichthyologist,
we have no
just
idea.
FYI.
Cocaine cut with the veterinary drug levamisole. Could be the culprit of a flurry of cases of flesh-eating diseases.
Would you like to back up and try this again? Hold on, just...
Well, here's the thing. Cocaine that has been cut with this veterinary drug apparently eats away human flesh.
Oh, I've seen this. They have this in Russia. Of course, where all the good deaths come from.
Yeah, the drug, which is used to deworm cattle, pigs, and sheep, can rot the skin off noses, ears, and cheeks. And they're saying that over 80% of the country's coke supply contains it, although that sounds sort of ridiculous. Dermatologist Dr. Noah Kraft said, it's probably quite a big problem, and we just don't know how big a problem it really is. In a case study in the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology, Kraft described 6 cocaine users recently plagued by dark purple patches of decaying flesh. And while they happen to hail from the country's coastlines, he says the problem is national. It's important for people to know it's not just in New York and L.A. It's in the cocaine supply of the entire U.S. Although, it seems like we'd be hearing a lot more about it, though, wouldn't we?
This seems like the killer bees of the cocaine world, you know?
Yeah.
Lot of agitation, very, very little threat. Big overture, little show.
So, Kraft is one of several doctors across the country who have linked the rotting skin to tainted coke. The gruesome wounds surface days after a hit because of a chemical that attacks the blood vessels supplying the skin. Without blood, the skin starves and suffocates. 82% of seized cocaine has contained this, according to a report by, you know, the DEA, who would never lie to you about anything like this.
See, so this, here's the thing. This goes back to my theory that the government was behind, you know, the massive influx of zombies into popular culture because they wanted to prep us for something they knew was on the horizon. They did not anticipate here's what the government didn't anticipate. Everybody taking the zombie threat seriously. And sort of, you know, doing the real life, you know, because there's like all of these, you know, like, you know, groups now that are like preparing for the actual, you know, zombie apocalypse. The government didn't anticipate people taking it seriously. So now they got to backpedal and try to pretend that it's something in the cocaine.
Oh,
they
okay.
did not anticipate everybody immediately grasping onto the zombie thing. And so the government feels now that we are too close to the truth. So now they got to sidetrack us. No, it wasn't really zombies. Cocaine. Hey, by the way, a little bit of breaking news here. Hold on.
Ooh.
Breaking news. I want to thank our friend Seamus for tipping us to this. Rod Blagojevich. Guilty on 20 counts.
Holy moly.
Let's see, we have here guilty on count 1, wire fraud related to Children's Memorial Hospital. For shame, Rod Blagojevich. Counts 2 through 10. I'm sorry, 2 through 11. Wire fraud related to the Senate seat. Guilty. Wire fraud related to the racing bill. Guilty. Attempted extortion related to a school shakedown, it says. No verdict. Attempted extortion related to Children's Memorial Hospital. Guilty. Bribery related to Children's Memorial Hospital. Guilty. Extortion conspiracy related to racing bill. Guilty. Bribery conspiracy related to racing bill. Guilty. Attempted extortion related to, quote, the tollway shakedown. No verdict yet. Bribery related to tollway shakedown. Not guilty. The rare not guilty. I believe that is the only not guilty verdict so far.
He may do all those other things, but he is no shakedown artist.
Extortion, attempted extortion, and bribery conspiracy related to the Senate seat. Guilty, guilty, and yes, guilty.
I'll bet he's going to do real hard time in a tough prison with, like, it's going to be like an episode of Oz.
You know, he might, though, because the thing is... Here's the thing. That is a guy who has spent, like, the last year and a half just whizzing in the face of the government. And I don't think the government takes too kindly to that. The government usually does the whizzing. He is on the outs. And plus, you know, here's the other thing about Blagojevich is that, you know, he's from Chicago, where I think when they decide that you're going to be removed from the spectrum, I think they try to remove you with extreme prejudice. So that may not be actually possible now. So the next best thing maybe is to, like, stick him in the, you know, in a hole somewhere. Mm. Or not. I don't know. I just want to see a picture of him without the rug. That's all I care about.
Without the rug in the orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, that's just like James Traficant. All I care about is a rugless picture of Blagojevich. There you go. Blagojevich guilty on 20 charges, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Excellent. Fantastic. All right. Are we still in science?
We're not. Okay. We're done with the science.
There's your Science in the March with the occasional detour into Blagoje News, brought to you by Squires Electric at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. It is squireselectric.com. And seriously... Wire fraud, attempted extortion related to a children's memorial hospital, bribery, extortion related to Senate seats, extortion related to racing bills. I mean, it's not enough just to extort. It's to extort, like, across the spectrum in every way.
Is he one of those politicians who has talked publicly about, like, his Christian values? I'm saying...
That's almost impossible.
If he believes in hell, you know, he's got to be... He's going there.
No, every time I see Rob Blagojevich, it's like he can't. It's like he somehow can't believe that it's happening. I think that is the result of. I think that is the result of working in politics in Chicago.
He also seems to have this attitude. Sure, I did it, but hey, I'm
in
politics.
I mean. That's what I'm saying.
That's like, what you do.
Well, look at this city. I mean, come on. I mean, he honestly seems puzzled a lot of the time.
Sure, it was illegal, but come on.
That's totally it. It's like, well, yeah, and. And so, all right. Excellent. Okay.
A man was struck and killed by a westbound MAX train this morning in East Portland. Officers were called to the MAX platform at 122nd and East Burnside at 9:13 a.m. Paramedics who responded determined the man was dead at the scene. TriMet officials said the train was pulling into the station when the man jumped into the path of the train. The man's age and name has not been released. An investigation is underway, and... I assume traffic was probably pretty badly delayed there for a while.
Wait, so the guy's dead?
The guy's dead.
Okay, and this is where?
122nd and East Burnside.
Okay, doesn't affect me.
No, but he just apparently jumped off the platform in front of the train.
Oh, so it wasn't like he was sort of sleeping on the train.
No.
Stretch or something. Like, he sort of leapt, sort of an I regret nothing.
Apparently so, yeah. It was pulling into the station, and the guy went, ah! And just, you know, there... That was it.
Is that your artist rendering of his last sound?
Well, it wouldn't be an IE, because that's fear. So, yeah. Aha, is when you're doing it on purpose. It
wouldn't be a Geronimo.
No. No. Well, no, it's not tall high enough for a Geronimo.
Ooh, apparently no head on that guy.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, later.
Yeah.
Probably he had one, you know, to calculate the jump, but then not so much at the end. Two little pieces of news about mayoral candidate Max Brum.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, I'll give the second piece next hour. I'll make everybody wait. We'll do the second piece next hour. Did I tell you this? Did you hear about this? That he issued a challenge to us?
No. Really? No.
Yes, the challenge may surprise you, Don.
I missed this entirely.
We'll have that next hour at rickemersonshow.com.
I didn't know he was actually even aware of us. Oh, wait, well, unless that really was him on the text box that
one
day.
We'll have this the second half of this next hour at rickemersonshow.com. So, yes, and I'm not making this up. So, this is from Cheryl. So, apparently, Max Brum issued a challenge directly at us/you/me/us.
Is it sort of like slapping us across the face with a glove of some sort?
Exactly. Yes, and then pistols at dawn.
Wow.
So, by the way, here's the funny part about it, is that the challenge issued at us. And by the way, now I have to make sure that he's not elected mayor. If I'm somehow his sworn enemy, I'm sorry, but now I have to make sure. I have to make certain that you that you are not elected to any public office.
On the other hand, how cool would it be to be like at the top of the mayor's enemies list?
Well, I mean, that would be kind of great, I guess, until the killing and the beating. So this all stems from that day that, speaking of beating, that all stems, it all stems from this conversation we had about 18-year-old mayoral candidate Max Brum, during which we somehow devolved to the point of suggesting that he should be pummeled. And I forget exactly why.
It had something to do with whether you could take him in a fight. And then somehow, yeah, at some point, we just decided that we were going to talk about beating him.
And then we were taunted by him in a text box, and then we said something crass, and then there was... And so now, apparently, though, now we're like blood enemies or something. So now I have this from our friend Andy, the formerly homeschooled kid, now the formerly homeschooled man. Rick, after listening to a recent podcast, I feel I must apologize. The, quote, Max Brum, end quote, who said, "I am a listener, jackass," was not actually Max Brum, that was me. Sorry for any confusion there might have been. When he says sorry for any confusion, it wasn't confusion. You said you were Max Brum. That's not confusion. That's just me reading the thing on the screen that says Max Brum has this to say.
And we did. And to be fair, we did doubt that it was actually Max Brum.
Yeah, that's not really confusion. That's just that's just bearing false witness,
Because you can give yourself any name in that text box.
Yeah.
You know that's one of the joys of the text box.
So now it's some whole comedy of errors. It's just going to end. You know, it's going to be like one of those historical things where it's like a guy. You know. Some comedy of errors that then ends in the overthrowing of the Archduke of Ferdinand.
So now, but because of this, now the actual Max Brum has issued us some kind of an actual challenge.
That's what I'm saying. It's a misunderstanding, but then the next thing you know, World War II happens.
And well, if he wants to engage in fisticuffs, I think he's going to have to fight Andy, the whole homeschool boy.
That's a good idea.
Because this is all his
fault. No, and Andy's...
And they're roughly the same age.
No, here's the thing, and Andy is a spindly little man, let me tell you that. Let me tell you right now, I mean, I look like Charles Atlas next to that guy. So, and he's a vegan, too, so how strong could he possibly be? Yeah. All right. So there you go, Andy. Sorry, it's on you, pal. Hate to put that on you, but I mean, you know, one must pay to play, as they say.
Wow.
All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Search crews have found the body of a missing man who was attending a baptism at Lake Lanier, Georgia. Friends reported the man missing Saturday night at the Buford Dam Park. Lieutenant Eric Eberly of Gwinnett Fire and Emergency Services said about 60 people were at the lake for a church baptism service and realized a man was missing from their group. Emergency crews got a call around 8 p.m. and searched the water for about an hour and a half before starting again Sunday morning. Dive crews went into the water three or four times Sunday, focusing on specific areas of the lake near the beach. Friends said they had last seen the man in the water just past the buoys, but no one could recall seeing him in a two-hour period. They just stated he did not know how to swim, and he did not have a flotation device, Everly said. On Monday morning, authorities said they had found the body of 33-year-old Ciro Jimenez Beltran near Buford Dam. So again...
Wait, he didn't know how to swim and had a flotation device, and did he announce this as he was getting in the water?
Well,
I can't swim!
I can't...
Bye!
His friend said he didn't know how to swim and he didn't have a flotation device. Apparently, they did not stop him from getting in the water and going out in the water. By the way, during a baptism service at the lake, he apparently went out too far and drowned.
Well, he wanted to be even closer to Jesus.
Well, he is now.
Mission accomplished, sir.
They're like this.
Well done. All right.
A makeshift sign showing a police officer in a hangman's noose has been removed from a Midtown business in Sacramento, California. Sacramento police removed the sign after contacting the building's owner, who said that they were unaware of it. The sign was written in the style of the game of Hangman, with a phrase partially filled in. See if you can guess the phrase.
Answer nagger?
It read F blank C K T H blank P O L blank C blank. At the bottom, the sentiment was attributed to Public Enemy, presumably a reference to the hip hop artist.
Except that's wrong, because it's not Public Enemy. That's okay, don't worry about it.
The sign comes very close to being obscene, says this news report. Carmella, a woman who was having her picture taken in front of the sign on Sunday afternoon, said, "We found it pretty funny." But not everyone agreed. Another woman on the street named Kelly said, "I am from a military background and a law enforcement background. I don't really appreciate it."
Where was this?
Sacramento.
Okay.
Michael, another person who stopped to look at the display, said, "They're not exactly music experts." Because it was NWA, not Public Enemy, who wrote the letters, the lyrics.
Okay. All right.
The sign itself was pretty low budget. Lettering was made with duct tape on a sheet and tied to the business's facade with string. Officer Sean McGovern of the police department said the owners were shocked that it was up there. After contacting the store's owner, McGovern climbed to the building's roof and took the sign down and said, everybody has freedom of speech, but if the owners don't want it up there, it shouldn't be up there.
It's not really like a page of the Banksy handbook or anything,
no.
You know? Do you have some twine and some tape? Hold on a second.
How can we make this a duct tape? I got duct tape.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show next hour. Corpse Watch, Geek Watch, Democracy in the March, Mr. Aaron Durant with the Weekend Geek, and we'll give you the details of Max Brom's challenge to us.
Let's do entertainment news.
By the way, Andy is just... I don't even know who this is addressed to. Andy just sends me things and says, oh, it's on. I don't even know. Seriously, I don't know. Okay.
Apparently he's willing to battle Max Brum.
For our honor, I guess. Okay, well, fair enough. Have at it. Here's your entertainment news from Monday at Legion of News.
In a turn of events that is designed to just make everyone's head explode, Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz got married. And apparently they've been married since June 22nd. The couple worked together on the movie Dream House, which comes out in September. Weisz has a 4-year-old son from her previous relationship with Black Swan filmmaker Darren Aronofsky. Craig, who's 43, has an 18-year-old daughter named Ella.
Okay.
Former The Hills reality star Lauren Conrad has split up with actor Kyle Howard. The couple started dating in 2008. Along with her television work, the 28-year-old celeb is also a fashion designer and a best-selling author.
And she married who?
No, she split.
Or she split up with
somebody.
She
split up with some actor.
Okay, some guy.
That nobody ever heard of.
All right.
Jennifer Aniston has gotten her first tattoo inked on the inside of her right foot. There's a tattoo that reads Norman, which is in memory of her 15-year-old dog who died in May.
Aw.
Isn't that nice?
That is.
Yeah. How I Met Your Mother actor Neil Patrick Harris will marry his longtime boyfriend David Burtka now that same-sex marriages are legal in New York. On Friday, Harris tweeted the following, David and I did propose to each other, but over 5 years ago. We've been wearing engagement rings for ages, waiting for an available date. A photograph of Outlaw Billy the Kid was purchased at a Denver auction for $2 million as the small tintype was handed over to 71-year-old retired industrialist William Koch. The photograph, which was part of the 22nd annual Old West Show and Auction, was expected to fetch between $300,000 and $400,000. Koch said to the Denver Post, I love the Old West. I plan on enjoying it and discreetly sharing it. I think I'll display it in a few small museums.
You know what pisses me off is when we have stories like this and it's like I go online and they don't have a picture of the actual picture.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, you don't have to make it like life-size or high-res or something, but... If you're going to have a story about somebody paying $2 million for a photograph, you could at least give us a little thumbnail of it.
Warner Brothers is going to continue with a Green Lantern sequel, even though the original movie blew and everyone hated it. Since its release, it has made just $89.3 million at the box office, which I don't believe even covers like what it cost to make it. But no, they're going to make a sequel.
Well, that's just domestic, though. It's because it'll still make its money. Because the thing about the rest of the world is... It's not that they have no taste. It's just that because we export, I mean, our biggest export in this country is culture, but because it takes a while to make a thing and then send it around the world, everybody else is like 15 years behind us. So they're not, they haven't gotten sick of things at the same rate that we have, and they're not at the same place in terms of sheer exhaustion with superheroes that we are.
And almost everything makes, I mean, I think the thing is a movie makes 50% of its profit of its box office profit on the first weekend. The rest of it is kind of a wash.
Right.
So if ticket sales, honestly, 50% first weekend. The rest of the money, the rest of the revenue for movies all come from foreign distribution and video sales. So yeah, it's like this. It's probably still going to be like obscenely profitable.
Yeah, but, and everything gets sequelized at, you know, period, whether you want it to or not. I mean, whether there's any call for it or not.
So Charlie Sheen's remaining goddess, Natalie Kenley, moved out of his house last week. Although he let his goddesses go, Sheen wasn't so loose with the car he bought for her. He demanded that Kenley return the Mercedes that he purchased for her. But still referring to himself in the third person, he was cavalier about the split, telling sources, it's not a common thing for the machine.
Is he the machine now?
Apparently he refers to himself as the machine.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
all
see?
Right. I see what he did there.
Okay. Machine. Apparently he also turned his house into a United Nations of sorts as soon as her ass was out the door, bringing home women from Mexico, Australia, and Colombia just hours after Kenley packed up and shipped out, someone told TMZ. Sheen's most recent goddess vacancy isn't anything new for him. In April, the first one, Bree Olson, reportedly dumped him via text message before immediately moving on to a new boyfriend. And just 1 month later, Sheen was officially down to one more ex and his wife. He was officially divorced from his estranged wife, Breck Miller.
It's funny, I was actually just watching a report this weekend where there was a coalition of Latino actors, and they were complaining that there was not enough prominence given to Latin actors and celebrities in this country. And strangely enough, they failed to mention Charlie Sheen. They didn't take ownership of him.
No.
Did not want to count him among their own.
Director Michael Bay posted a personal note online to Transformers fans and encouraged them to watch the movie in 3D. Dark of the Moon has some of the most technically challenging sequences ever shot, he wrote, and shot in 3D. I must urge you to find the very best theater and see this movie in that format. 3D was a forethought, not an afterthought in this movie.
Is anything in the Transformers film actually shot as such?
Well, sure, you gotta have, like, you gotta actually, you know, use a camera to shoot, you know, the scantily clad ladies draped over the motorcycle.
Is that part in 3D?
And Shia LaBeouf. I mean, you know, he's real.
Is he in the new Transformers film?
Yes,
he is. I thought he wasn't. I thought he told them to piss off.
I think he's in this. Megan Fox isn't in this one.
No,
think,
she's not. And maybe he said that after this one he's done. Yeah. Maybe that's the deal, is he said that he wasn't going to be...
Here's the thing, though, is that the problem with watching movies in 3D in a lot of theaters is that it's really, really expensive to reconfigure the cameras so that the light, the projection light, is bright enough to not make the 3D light look really dim. Because once it's going through the 3D process, it actually dims the light. And it's really, and it just looks like crap. And so Bay, along with this statement, Bay has also sent out a message to projectionists, encouraging like theater owners and projectionists to like make sure that they're running their equipment at like optimum and to invest the money and to make sure the 3D is like looking as good as possible. And the other thing is, it's like, you know what else you could do? You could just go see it in 2D and not spend that much money and actually see it, you know, bright enough.
The other thing they could do is also, while they're at it, just send out a memo to projections everywhere telling them to not run the bulb at, like, half brightness.
Well, that's the problem with the 3D is even if it is at full brightness, it just looks like it's at half brightness because that's what you got. And it's apparently it's really, really expensive to, like, upgrade to a hot enough light that you can actually make the 3D bright.
But does it seem like when you go to theaters now, even to see, like, regular 2D movies, that they're underlit? Does it seem like you got guys in the projection booth who are somehow under the impression that if they burn the bulb, like it'll lower, that it'll extend the life of the bulb, which isn't true?
Well, a large part of the problem is also is that there are very few projectionists anymore, too. Is that a lot of your big multiplexes, you've just got managers and the popcorn kids and people who go in.
The popcorn kids.
And they flip a switch and turn it on and they leave the booth. You don't actually have union projectionists who are sitting there actually who know how to work the equipment other than just switching it on and switching it off.
I love the idea that there's some sort of choreographed like Disney show up there, you know, and they're like singing a bunch of Glee-esque tunes while they're threading up reel number three.
the popcorn kids.
You should completely trademark that phrase right now and sell it to Disney. Or sell it to somebody. Or sell it to Nick.
Popcorn kids.
I don't even know what the show would be. It's just a great enough phrase that somebody ought to own that and do something with it. We got like 90 seconds here.
Okay, I'm sure there's something else that's just fascinating in the world of entertainment. R&B singer Emmerly married former Columbia Records executive Lenny Nicholson in someplace in an island, probably somewhere. The singer wore a Monique Lhuillier dress at the nuptials, and Nicholson was decked out in a Hugo Boss suit. I don't know who these people are.
Excellent. Well chosen. You got like 53 seconds.
I got nothing else. Okay, boxing announcer and CNN sports anchor Nick Charles died Saturday from bladder cancer.
Oh, I saw that. That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks.
That guy was great. But he was, you know, the thing, though, is that he was employed all the way up to the very end. Because I think it was like HBO or somebody had retained him in the last months of his life to do ringside announcing.
Yeah, he's been fighting cancer for like a couple of years.
Yeah, now. No, it was, and I'm not like a big sports guy, but I am sort of a moderate boxing fan. So,
well, Mike Tyson tweeted, and that's exciting to me, is to find out that Mike Tyson is on Twitter. Mike Tyson tweeted, "Mourning the loss of a true warrior, my friend and brother, Nick Charles." He spelled mourning wrong, but hey, you know.
It's the thought that counts, Don.
It's the thought that counts.
All right, there you go. On that note. Wait, no, hold on. I pressed the wrong button. On that note. There we go. Excellent. Fantastic. We bring the curtain down another episode of Legion of News for Monday, June 27th, 2011. Thank you for joining us. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, Hive of the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Egler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. As always, we thank you for listening. The Rick Emerson Show is next hour at rickemersonshow.com with a Corpse Watch, Geek Watch, Democracy in the March, and Mr. Aaron Duran, The Week in Geek. Have a fantastic Monday, and we will see you again tomorrow at noon for another installment of Legion of News. Thank you for listening.